We're coming to you live from Washington, D.C., of course, and our focus tonight is the weaponization of our federal government, and we've got quite the lineup for you. TSA put thousands of Americans on a watch list, and as a result, I'm suing TSA for information on that. Sonia Labasco joins me to discuss. Politico says Speaker Mike Johnson doesn't support warrants for FISA. That amendment is expected to hit the floor sometime this week. FBI whistleblowers Steve Friend and Garrett O'Boyle join me to discuss. Americans are fed up with the federal government illegally surveilling them. Chairman Jim Jordan sits with me to discuss. Did the CIA set up Alex Jones to potentially have a civil lawsuit that would wipe out InfoWars? Well, there's a new report from Sound Investigations. Arden Young joins us. Americans are preparing for the worst, potentially a doomsday situation. J.D. Rucker is joining us to detail what they're doing. All that and more on The Brianna Morello Show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Of course, we're still in Washington, D.C. tonight. We're so happy you guys are joining us. And well, we're going to kick off tonight's show with a very, very interesting segment because, well, it has to do with the FBI not doing their job by actually going after terrorists. And that's the part we're going to drive home here. But the theme of today's show is going to be the weaponization of our federal government. And that's why this fits in so perfectly, of course. So you might have seen this video over the weekend. It took place in Michigan in a city called Dearborn. It was a group of pro-Palestinian protesters outside. And well, they were chanting death to America, of course. Let's take a listen.
Gaza has shown the entire world why these protests are so anti-America. Because it's the United States government that provides the funds for all of the atrocities that we just heard about. And this is why Imam Khomeini, who declared the International Day of Quds, this is why he would say to pour all of your chants and all of your shouts upon the head of America. Malcolm X said, and I quote, "We live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth. It's not Genocide Joe that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go. Any system that would allow such atrocities and such devilry to happen and would support it, such a system does not deserve to exist on God's earth." And so when these fools ask us if Israel has the right to exist, the chant death to Israel has become the most logical chant shouted across the world today.
Well, if there was going to be an actual domestic terrorist list, I'd probably suspect those individuals being added to it, but not the federal agencies that we have these days. It's likely you and I will end up on it just because, well, our beliefs are different than the regimes. And that person will just get a little write-off. Nothing too serious. Join me now to discuss all of this is Kingsley Wilson. She joins us today in Washington, D.C. Now, Kingsley, you are with the Center of Renewing America. We love everyone over there. And you do their digital media and strategic communications. So thank you for joining us. I want to talk about that video because it's pretty outrageous. Okay, the FBI, first off, because I did vet this. I reached out to the FBI, asked them if those individuals are going to be investigated. And, well, the FBI didn't get back to us, of course. So would you be surprised if those individuals do not end up on a terror watch list?
I wouldn't be surprised. And I'm not surprised that the FBI didn't respond to your inquiry because they're more focused on people who peacefully protested at Jan 6, people who go to Latin Mass, people who want to be involved in their children's school board meetings. That's who the FBI is targeting, not people like this. They're not focused on terrorists that are living within this country and are crossing our southern border illegally every single day. And I think, you know, you hear a lot of Republicans talk about how the illegal immigration crisis is really just importing people that don't share our values. They could be from terror hotspots. They could have criminal pasts or histories. But a lot of Republicans don't also talk about legal immigrants. There are a lot of people who have come to the United States legally under, you know, Democrat regimes, whether it was Obama, whether it was Biden. And they, again, do not share that culture. They don't share an appreciation of our founding. You hear them chanting death to America, death to Israel. These are people that are bringing foreign grievances here, foreign ideologies that don't play well with the American American belief system. And that's something that I think we need to start to discuss as a country, because we can't have a people if we don't have one culture, right? Our country is only going to work if we agree on our American foundations, ideals, what those things are. And that's something that I think going forward, Republican administrations will bring to the forefront.
Well, that's what's so important too, right? I would agree with that. There's so many people who want to sit there and talk about, oh, immigration, we need to fix our immigration laws. I'd say we need to fix who we're actually bringing in, because it's fine that we don't have to live amongst everyone. Like, we have to be able to just kind of accept the fact that not everyone likes the United States, and we probably shouldn't bring them in here because, well, there's people in the Middle East, and they might be correct in some cases during the Bush administration, of course, but they don't really like us, and that's okay. They don't have to come here though, and we shouldn't be taking them in. We shouldn't have our arms wide open for them, because, well, that's what we get. That's the result. And we see this playing out all the time. We have members of Congress who hate this country, and they let us know it all the time. Kinsley, when does this end? Because it seems like they continue to go after us and sit there and bash us as Americans and tell us that we need to change, when our country's been around for years and years and years and decades, and we have never had any real issues. We're thriving. They're coming from countries that aren't thriving. So why are we the ones being told that we have to change?
We're definitely reaching a boiling point. I think you're absolutely correct. And you hear people on the left talk about, oh, the Great Replacement. It's some right-wing fringe conspiracy theory. But we're seeing it happen in real time. States like this, Michigan, used to be, you know, conservative strongholds. They used to be reliable Republican districts. But now we look at places like Dearborn, and it looks like a Somali city, right? Or you look where Ilhan Omar comes from in Minnesota. So we've seen rapid change of various communities across this country, and that is a direct result of immigration. We have made a choice in this country, as you said, to let everybody in, to not vet people, to not make sure that they don't just not have a criminal history, but that they adhere to our beliefs and our values and our American identity. Because if America is just an idea, that's where, you know, we're left with this liberal ideology. Anyone can come here. Anyone can be a voting citizen or things of that nature. But there's something more, I think, to being an American citizen. It is a tethering to our founding, right? An appreciation for our Constitution. You see conservatives talk about how important that is in this country. And you see Democrats veering away from it because they want to be this kind of diverse population where people might not know what George Washington thought. They might not understand our Bill of Rights, because that will make it that much easier for Democrats to become tyrants, right? If no one left in this country knows what we are about, what we were created to be. So I think conservatives need to make sure that we're always pushing our constitutional values first. And that's why you see a lot of conservative parents, I think, fighting for that in the classrooms. Kids today are being taught that America's founding was evil. And we need to push back against that early on to make sure that we don't have kids that eventually become voting adults that have no respect for where we came from.
Yeah, I think it's really important too. And I see so many Americans who are concerned, parents especially, and now they've decided to homeschool their children, rightfully so, because they can't trust the public school system these days, even private schools. It's all becoming so corrupt. And so it's disheartening to see they're teaching young people to hate America when in fact, this is the best country in the world. And sadly, they're going to find out the hard way if we actually lose what we have here in the country. I wanted to bring up something else. I thought it was really interesting. It's causing kind of a little bit of a debate within the conservative movement right now. But President Donald Trump came out and he stated that he supports abortion being a state's issue, not a federal issue. So let's listen to the clip that he posted on Truth Social.
This 50-year battle over Roe v. Wade took it out of the federal hands and brought it into the hearts, minds, and vote of the people in each state. Was really something. Now it's up to the states to do the right thing. Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country, which is currently, and very sadly, a nation in decline.
Now, Kinsley, the debate here is that he has to win over moderates. And there's a Gallup poll that came out last year that I wanted to highlight. When it comes to abortion, 34% of people they polled said they believe that abortion should be legal under any circumstance. 51% said it should be legal under certain circumstances. And 13% said it should be illegal under all circumstances. So obviously, within the conservative world, we'd all say it should be illegal under all circumstances, but he has to pull moderates. He has to bring them in. Do you think that's the correct messaging he should be putting out there right now on the campaign trail?
I think absolutely. And, you know, I think a lot of this criticism from the right is really misplaced. Trump is the most pro-life president of my lifetime. And I say that as, you know, a single issue voter, really. Pro-life issues are very important to me. I disagree with Trump a little bit. I don't believe in exceptions. I know he does. But I think that Republicans have for decades really missed the mark in messaging to conservative women and to liberal women about the abortion issue across this country. And what you have to understand is that Trump is a pragmatist. He is a deal maker. He wants both sides to be able to reach a compromise, because if we continue to push super radical things that maybe the culture isn't there, we're going to get just blown away at the ballot box in November. I think he understands that. He is a statesman. And what you have to understand too about young women, you know, I'm 25 years old. A lot of my peers are very left wing, right? Because they've been indoctrinated in different colleges by feminism. Their thoughts of the world aren't necessarily what mine are as a conservative woman. I would say I'm somewhat of an outlier. When I tell people I just want to be a mom someday, they look at me like I have three heads, you know, because that's what feminism tells you is evil. But I think a lot of women have grown up, my age in particular, with Roe propaganda being pushed down their throats. It's been ingrained into them. So it's going to take time for us, I think, to chip away at that and to really combat that. And that's what Trump's trying to do, right? What the left does so successfully is when they run, you see Joe Biden do this even in the last election, they run like moderates, they run as rationalists, but then they govern like radicals. And I think that Republicans can do that very same thing and be successful at the ballot box, win elections, and then protect life, as Trump did in his last term.
Yeah, and I guess what's so important to drive home here, he did do so much for the pro-life movement. And we could have the disagreements, but we have to get him in the office. I mean, there's no other option, quite frankly. So I understand criticism when we're in a primary season. That's fair to kind of vet it out and see both sides. But the primary is over. We're focused on November these days. We need him in the White House. We really can't, our country can't afford not to have him in the White House at this point. So this is a top priority for us and so many other Americans out there. And I like how you said it. You know, so many of Joe Biden pretended to be moderate. He is far, far left. We all know it now. We actually had Jason Whitlock on yesterday, who was talking about several social media influencers and celebrities like The Rock, Stephen A. Smith, and all of them are pretending to be moderate because, well, they don't think probably Joe Biden's going to be the actual nominee. And so they're going to have to swing their support for somebody else. And we all know, you know, back in 2020, they all endorsed him. So this is their president. And they're all trying to back away slowly from it because they're looking for somebody else. So again, folks, this is kind of the political game here that the left tends to play. So I'm glad he came out and said it, because we do need to get ahead of the messaging. We also know that Kamala Harris keeps putting out tweets talking about federal abortion bans. And that's to go and to poke at kind of like the fear-mongering tactic that so many lefties think they have. And just moderates, a lot of moderates, just it's a 3-month rule for them. And so let's just get him in the White House. That's
what I agree. And I think that this messaging, as you've said, will 100% get him there. Yeah. And it's messaging too, that a lot of these pro-life organizations that are, you know, anti-Trump now, having seen the statement that he put out, it's messaging that they've been pushing for too, right? They've always said, even before Trump came along, if we do get Roe v. Wade overturned, we want this to go back to the states, and then we'll continue to move the ball down the field, downfield from there. So, you know, I think we've seen even a reversal on some of the pro-life organizations' fronts, and they need to get behind Trump and support him, because obviously the alternative will be much worse. We are in the business of saving lives, I think, when it comes to the pro-life issue. What will save the most lives? And that is definitely having Trump in the White House. So we need to make sure that we all get behind him. And you hear a lot of people say that this will force, you know, conservative Christians to stay home. I don't think that's the case. They are not going to vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. They're not going to sit this one out. It is too important. They are going to vote for Trump. So I don't think Trump loses any votes by making a statement like this. And as I said earlier, I think he comes across as reasonable and a rationalist, because this is an emotional issue. I think it's not, you know, budget cuts or tax cuts or something like that. This is on the hearts and minds of every American woman and just really family in particular. So I think messaging in a little bit of a softer tone will do well for him.
I agree. Kinsley Wilson, thank you for joining us. We greatly appreciate it. And thanks for having us in DC. I know you're here all the time. I'm never here, so it's good to see
you. Yeah, you came from your swamp to our own, I guess. So great to join you.
I did. Thank you. And if you enjoyed that interview, make sure you guys hit that subscribe button right now. If you're watching on Rumble or YouTube or any of the podcasting platforms like iTunes or Spotify, leave us a comment. We love hearing from you. And since we're a new show, we're open to all of your feedback. So make sure you drop a comment. We greatly appreciate it. And if you'd like to support our show, head over to supportbree.com. That's where you can make either a one-time donation or you could become a monthly donor. You could pick any dollar amount you'd like. It keeps us going. It's where we could travel to all of these great locations and continue doing our work as independent journalists. So we greatly appreciate it. We'll be right back. You guys, I've said it once before, so I'm going to say it again. And under the Biden regime, I've never been more worried about my financial future. I called my good friend, Dr. Kirk Elliott, because I wanted to come up with a plan put in place to make sure I was secure. And he came with a plan for me to invest in silver.
I'm rich.
I've got my silver. I'm feeling so much better about my future. I highly recommend you give him a call and just chat with his team. 720-605-3900. And you could also head over to his website if you'd like to schedule an appointment. It's KirkElliottPhD.com/Brianna. It's truly mind-blowing that not enough Americans are really talking about what happened last month in court. Now, in case you missed it, the FDA was forced to remove disinformation. Yes, you heard that right. That they posted during the pandemic. You might recall the ivermectin push by the FDA. They were trying their hardest to pretend like it's not used on humans. We know it is because, well, there was a Nobel Peace Prize given for that specific reason alone. And they tried to make it seem like you were crazy if you wanted to take it to treat COVID and that it's only used on animals. Well, a court told the FDA they have to delete those posts because, well, they're false. And so the FDA is yanking that. But it's so important to just think about it, guys. The fact that the FDA was able to push forward information like this to discourage Americans from getting life-saving medications is extremely alarming. So just because we're in an election year, you've got to prepare. And the best way to do so is by heading over to twc.health/Brianna. That's twc.health/Brianna. And go over all of their products. They have this great product called the Contingent Emergency Kit. Now, this product alone gives you life-saving prescription just in case you might need it. Those prescriptions include ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, Z-Pak, and even a nebulizer, which we all need, honestly. We should all have that in our house. This kit is incredible. And they're also going to give you a guide that tells you how to use all of these tools so you know exactly how to use it and when. It's really remarkable. You guys have to go to the website and take a look. Great doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Harvey Rich, they've all put their support behind these kits. So you got to head over to twc.health/Brianna right now. And just for listening to the program today, they're going to give you $30 off when you use promo code Brianna. That's B-R-E-A-N-N-A, B-R-E-A-N-N-A. And that will give you $30 off, which is a great deal, folks. I'm telling you, this is less expensive than going to the doctor and then them telling you they're not going to give you ivermectin. They're not going to give you hydroxychloroquine because, well, they don't trust the science. So again, folks, you got to head over to twc.health/Brianna and use promo code Brianna to get $30 off. Now, as of yesterday, I have filed another lawsuit regarding a FOIA request that the federal government refuses to comply with. This one's against TSA. TSA is now sadly being sued by me because, well, they decided to not comply with two of my FOIA requests. The first one was in regards to the illegal migrants who are illegally being flown around the United States. I asked for all of their documents regarding those programs and even the names of the people who they're flying around the country. And well, they have not responded and I've given them months to do so. And then there was my second one. Now, many of you guys might recall we spoke about on this show. There's a program called the Quiet Skies. It's a terrorist watch list. And many of you might even be on it and you might not even realize it. So I reached out to TSA through FOIA requests and I asked specifically for several Americans who were on that list. Journalists, for example, like James O'Keefe, J.D. Rivera, Taylor Hansen. All of these people who are on this watch list, and we know they are because as you see on your screen, it's called the Quad S program. Those four S's are the clear indicator that, yes, if you see this on your passport, you are either being followed and you're going through extra security precautions. And it's quite embarrassing, but no one knows it's more embarrassing than J6ers because J6ers are the ones who have all been added to lists. And it's not just J6ers, folks. It's anyone who flew into DC during that time period, either before or after January 6th, of course, they got all their information and they were added to the list. And so many Americans are fed up because, well, no one's responding and giving them an explanation as to why they were put on that list. So now I'm suing TSA because we're going to get our hands on that information. Legally, we are entitled to do so. And I look forward to bringing you an update on that story. But I wanted to talk to you about something else. Now, I'm not the only one who's pushing back on that Terror Watch list story. Sonia Labosco is another individual who has been pushing back. Sonia has been a complete shark on this issue, exposing everything that's going on. And here's why. Sonia knows that Americans are being targeted based on their political beliefs. She knows that it's heavily going against conservatives. And so Sonia actually sent them a cease and desist letter, TSA. And well, of course, they sent her a response. And here's her response. In this response, TSA is completely denying that they even have this type of program that surveils Americans for their political beliefs. But Sonia knows it. I know it. We see it. We know it. We have documents to prove it. And so Sonia Labosco joins us now to discuss. Sonia is also, just to remind our audience, she is a retired supervisor for the Federal Air Marshal, and she is also the director of the Air Marshal National Council. Sonia, listen, this letter that they sent you is, to say it nicely, it's bullshit. They are telling you that they don't do this. They don't follow Americans when we know they do. And I want to bring up this document here, too. This is a document that Taylor Hansen got his hands on. And this document specifically shows Taylor Hansen as somebody who's being followed. He's being investigated by TSA. Taylor Hansen's a journalist. He's an independent journalist. He was there for January 6th. But again, he did nothing wrong and he found himself on the terror watch list. And this is something that he got his hands on. Again, I asked TSA whether this was authentic or not, and they did not deny it. They won't admit it, but they won't deny it. And that's a key part in all of this. So Sonia, based on the documents that you and I both have, are you believing the letter that they sent you?
They are trained liars. They are lying through the paper that they wrote that document on. They know that they have been targeting political supporters of President Trump since January 2021. We've proven that. We have receipts from it. TSA cannot deny the documents that you have, Brianna, right there in your studio are the documents with Taylor Hansen. They're undeniable, irrefutable. And nobody can prove those wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've asked them, I mean, if they had any type of dispute on those documents, to let me know, because I'm open to potentially these documents maybe not being legit, but they're not denying it. And again, I talk to people all the time who are being followed. I mean, I've asked, you have asked several other people, what are kind of like the protocols for all of this? And then when I'm helping other J6ers or people who are just simply using, well, you know, their First Amendment rights to show up to a protest and free speech, they're on this watch list. When I kind of walk them through what to look out for, they've all found themselves on this list just because they flew into the DC area around January 6th. And so it's alarming. But Sonia, how do we put an end to this? Because They're not even admitting that this is happening. They're stonewalling me when I'm asking for the documents. So is there really another option for this? How do we block this from continuing to go on?
Yeah, we need Congress to stop funding TSA. We need Congress to stop giving them $10 to $11 billion to target their services against the American people, who, by the way, we're the taxpayers that pay for TSA to exist. So we need Congress to stop the funding. And if we have to, we're working on legislation again to put this back through Congress, that air marshals cannot be utilized for political gain. And that's what's happening right now. And it's still happening. These missions are still taking place as we have this interview today.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And we all know they're taking place, but they're denying it. Sonia, what inspired you to put together the cease and desist letter and send it over to TSA? Because I think that's telling.
It's the outrage of me just as an American. I've been in law enforcement for decades. And to know that American people who have never had an interview, they've never been vetted for criminal wrongdoing, they haven't done anything wrong, or being put out there and they're being targeted, they're being harassed, their children are being harassed, their grandchildren are being harassed. We had a nine-week-old baby on this list. I mean, what level are we willing to go in this country to see that our freedoms are being taken from us? So we have to stand up, and I'm going to keep writing letters and going to Congress and filing lawsuits and filing DHS-OIG complaints every day of my life until we see change. This is wrong. It's disgusting. And I want the American people to know we're fighting for you behind the scenes. You may not see us every day, but we're back here trying to grind it out against this unelected bureaucratic agency at TSA that is absolutely wrong.
Yeah. And Sonia, no one's fighting harder than you these days. I mean, we talk about it all the time. You and I go back and forth with updates on these stories and other stories regarding just the weaponization of all of these federal agencies. It's always appalling when we see it, but we're all trying to come up with plans on how to fix these issues. Can you let our audience know what is the actual role of U.S. Air Marshals? Because many Americans probably don't even know what their role is. And it's kind of normalizing this surveillance that they're forcing these agents to go through.
It is absolutely normal. We do not surveil political people. What we're supposed to do is we're supposed to thwart hijackings from individuals that want to take over an aircraft. Just like what happened on 9/11, the four aircraft that were taken then, people entered the cockpit and took the cockpit over from the captain, and they crashed those planes. This is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to thwart any type of hijacking. There has been zero J6er or anybody in the National Capital Region that's tried to take over a cockpit since air marshals have been following them. And you've got three air marshals per traveler that we're following. Our resources are being depleted. Our chances of stopping another 9/11 have been devastated. And I just hope that we can turn this around before we wake up one day and see a plane that's been taken over and another 9/11 style attack has happened. Because guess what? It's what the FBI is calling for.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, gosh, you hope it doesn't happen. But based on our open borders, based on all the nonsense that they're pushing through Congress, it has nothing to do with securing the American people. It actually has more to do with securing foreign borders than our own. We just feel like we're all just sitting ducks at this point. That's the most frustrating part in all of this. Sonia, if you could give viewers at home some advice on how they could help in the fight. I mean, you and I reach out, we're trying to push. What can our audience do to help contribute to this fight?
They can reach out to their congressional representatives. You can tweet them, hit them up on Twitter. Let them know that you're displeased with TSA starting this domestic surveillance program against people. And you're the ones paying for it. I mean, we're paying for our own freedoms to be taken away. So we want you to know we'll never forget 9/11. We'll never forget the 9/11 individuals that died that day, 2,977 innocent Americans murdered. 4,000 first responders have died since then. We're not going to drop this. You can forget it. We're going to keep pushing until we change.
Absolutely. Sonia, thank you for joining me today. I greatly appreciate it. There's an alarming new report out in Politico today, and it had me scratching my head because, of course, it didn't sound like Speaker Mike Johnson when Politico reported that he actually might be against getting warrants for FISA. Now, as you know, yesterday we talked about it on this show. It's up for a vote this week in the House, and, well, it's likely to not pass. The vote specifically is for warrants. For FISA, as many of you know. And well, according to Politico, Speaker Mike Johnson's staffer told a group of GOP staff today that he opposes warrant requirement amendment at the center of this week's 702 debate. And there's two people that they're saying were familiar with what took place in that conversation. Now, it's weird, right? Why would Mike Johnson, a constitutional attorney, not be for this? Obviously, FISA goes against your constitutional rights, the Fourth Amendment, of course. So it doesn't really make much sense. So I reached out to Speaker Johnson's office. I both called and emailed, and I haven't heard back. Strange. Joining me to discuss all of this is FBI whistleblower Steve Friend. Steve is also a senior fellow for the Center for Renewing America, and you're the author of the book True Blue. Steve, I mean, it's no surprise that they're going to push FISA through again without any warrants. It's just strange to me that Speaker Mike Johnson, who claims to be a constitutional attorney and claims to be a man who prioritizes, you know, American values, would not support the warrant amendments. Why do you think he's missing that? And what do you make of all of this?
I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding of what FISA Section 702 actually is for and how it's being abused. Mm-hmm. So just having the initial F in there, as Senator Cornyn has talked about, being foreign, that's not enough. You need to understand that it is a tool for the federal law enforcement apparatus to use in a counterintelligence capacity to get signals, intelligence, communications electronically, like an email, that sort of thing, of someone who is not within the United States in a foreign country who is sponsored by a foreign government. Mm-hmm. But the FBI, the Attorney General, the FBI Director, they have said in front of Congress, in front of congressional testimony, that this is a vital tool for them to use to combat trans organized crime like drug trafficking on the southern border, because this tool is only useful if it's misused. This is very much like the parable of the farmer who buys the land knowing that there is a buried treasure there.
Yeah.
They know by looking through those signals intelligence of foreign actors that they will be able to get at Americans that way. It's a backdoor around the Fourth Amendment because they're not interested in that foreign actor. They're interested in who they're talking to stateside, and they are able to circumvent Fourth Amendment protections by using FISA.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You said it's only useful if it's misused, and I think that's really important for Americans to understand. That's the reason why. I don't think a lot of members in Congress honestly understand that and get that. So as a former FBI agent, How is it being misused specifically on Americans? Do you have any examples that you witnessed firsthand?
Well, I can't reveal anything anecdotally because of classified, but I can just tell you in general. Let's say that there's a Russian actor who's interacting with an American. It might be something completely innocuous. It might be a media request. But if that person is being looked at, the Russian using FISA 702, we'd be interested as a law enforcement agency in knowing who they're communicating with stateside, because we're able to actually arrest that person for committing a crime. And talking to that foreign actor is not necessarily a crime, but now we have a label and we're saying, well, they could be a tool of a foreign government. We should dig into them. And if nothing's there, but we don't like something about them, well, we'll just find a reason. We have our man, we can look for our crime.
You know, it's funny. There's actually a report that we're going to do in just a few moments with Arden Young from Sound Investigation. And they have a report of a CIA employee, a contractor specifically saying, we could get you for anything. And that's exactly what you're telling us too. I think that's really being echoed here. The intelligence community knows that they could get you for anything. If you were talking to members of Congress right now who are going to take this up for a vote later this week, what would you advise them?
Well, I think that this needs to be the ring of power that needs to be cast into the fires and never accessed again. It's only useful if it's misused, and the FBI has a track record of abusing it and misusing it in the hundreds of thousands of times. Despite what Director Ray has said, that they have 98-99% compliance with their new standards, that's an admission from the FBI director, because it is used so broadly that they violate the Fourth Amendment thousands of times, even by following that 99% rubric. It's an admission that they have violated the Fourth Amendment rights of Americans in the thousands of times every year.
It's disgraceful. And I like how you said it, though. It's only useful if it's being misused. And I think that's what everyone needs to understand in this country right now. Steve Friend, thank you for joining us today. It's great to see you in Washington, D.C.
Great to be here with you.
Now, many of you probably need a history lesson, like we all do, regarding FISA and the roots behind it. And so joining us now to do so is FBI whistleblower Garrett O'Boyle. He's here to discuss all of it. Now, Garrett, you're not a historian, but you know a lot about this one. So I know our audience has a lot to learn from you. So talk us through how FISA even came about.
Yeah. So first of all, Brianna, thanks for having me on again. And it's awesome to be here in person with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, FISA was born out of essentially what should have been deemed illegal wiretaps on Martin Luther King Jr. Mm-hmm. So this is the history of FBI abuse. It goes back decades, many decades. It's not just now with people like me and Steve Friend and Kyle Serafin speaking out about the corruption that we saw. It goes back into its history. So Hoover basically had a massive bone to pick with MLK, and he just kept hammering the attorney general and the president. We need to wiretap him. We need to wiretap him. He's a communist. And they signed off on it. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking Robert F. Kennedy, the attorney general at the time, and JFK, the president at the time. But there was no FISA yet. Well, then fast forward a little bit. And also, not for nothing, the FBI also tried to get MLK to commit suicide. They sent him a letter basically saying, kill yourself or else we're going to leak information about you. So fast forward a little bit, and there's some people in I think in Ohio, where they broke into an FBI office and they stole a bunch of files. And in those files were files on the FBI's COINTEL program. And that basically just stands for counterintelligence. And the FBI had this massive program. And because these people broke in and stole things from the government, Americans were able to learn about what the FBI was doing behind closed doors and essentially in secret. And so what happened out of that was the Church Committee in like the 70s. So eventually the Church Committee produces their report and they want to enact some of these changes. Well, one of the main things they enacted was FISA. And so FISA gets incorporated because they say this will be our stopgap. This will be how we ensure that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act is used appropriately against potential, you know, evil or bad foreign actors against America. Well, let's fast forward a little bit more to 9/11. Post 9/11, we get the Patriot Act, which was established to deter and punish terrorism acts in America. Sounds great, right? We all think it sounds great. I remember even back then thinking, well, who wouldn't be for the Patriot Act? Because you must be a patriot because it's called the Patriot Act. How foolish. And in the Patriot Act, FISA was renewed, well, was altered in a way to give now the FBI different authorities. And in the law, in the Patriot Act, it says the FBI director now has the ability through FISA to produce any tangible items. So that includes even things like books that people would check out at a library. And now in this digital era we live in, it's a massive tranche of information, and so many things are digital. And with the FBI abuses that we've already seen, so in 2021 alone, so now we're jumping forward 20 more years, yeah. 3.4 million warrantless searches. A warrantless search is illegal. It's a violation of your Fourth Amendment right. But now Congress is going to renew FISA 702, where instead the FBI should be defunded, FISA should be stripped from them, and we need to figure out a different way to approach these things, because what we've been doing for decades and decades and decades hasn't been working.
It hasn't been. And that's the problem here, right? We have, you know, so many members of Congress who are pretending to be worried about potential terror attacks here in the country when we have a wide open borders and everyone's flooding in. And so they're, I think they're going to use that to kind of validate FISA a little bit and the reason why we need to keep it going. But it's really not an excuse at all. We need border security instead. I want to talk about the Fourth Amendment, folks. That's what requires law enforcement to obtain a warrant in order to conduct searches and seizures of your property or privacy to go in your privacy. So, Garrett, how have they been able to get away with this? Because I don't understand how this hasn't been legally challenged throughout the years. It's just mind-blowing to me.
Yeah. So the primary way they get away with it is because all of this stuff in the FBI, in the intelligence world, relating to FISA is classified. It's at least secret, if not classified secret, no foreign. So that would be no foreign entity can look at it. And there are other different classifications, but what people really need to know is it's classified. And so what happens when an FBI agent or even in the NSA, because they deal with FISA as well, if you want to use the FISA Act to tap into somebody's information, you're supposed to get a warrant. But the warrant in the FISA system goes to something called the FISC, which is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. All of this is also classified. And we know, as of some reporting, I think back in 2014, so from the inception of FISA back in the 70s, post-Church Committee, to 2014, there was something like 38,000 FISA warrants. I could be off on the number, but if my memory is right, I think it was around there. And the FISC had approved those warrants like over 99% of the time. And there was like a two-digit number. I want to say it was around 13 or 14 times where the FISC said, no, we're not going to approve it. My question is, and I haven't ever been able to find the answer, is out of the ones that they rejected, how many of those just went back, rewrote it, took it back to the FISC, and then it got approved? And so there's almost a 100% success rate. And then when we look at things that happened with the last president and his campaign and people on his staff and how FISA was abused there, where we had an FBI employee who was a lawyer lying in an email, and that FISA was renewed. So it's a tool that is way off the rails. And I think, honestly, as a nation, we need to get back to true American roots of, am I willing to risk a little bit of my safety for freedom? And right now we have a government that says, no, we're going to make you safe no matter what. You're going to comply no matter what. If you speak out, we're going to crush you, and we are going to do whatever we want. And by and large, Americans have just taken that.
Yeah, it's disappointing that not enough Americans do push back. I think because it sounds like it's for their better, you know, their interest. It's not. It's being used against them. And, you know, we need to wake up and realize that. I know our audience understands, and that's why they're paying attention. That's why they're watching today. But it's just really upsetting. Garrett, you know, they're about to do this vote on the warrant requirement right now in the House. What would you advise members of Congress to do?
I mean, by and large, I would say you need to abolish the FBI's authority to even have this tool at this point. We have to figure out either a different agency or a different mechanism, because, yeah, like people crossing the border, there are legitimate purposes for law enforcement or intelligence agencies to really try to defend our nation. But the amount of abuses that has happened by just the FBI alone regarding FISA, it's a bridge too far. And so if you're not going to abolish it, you have to at least demand and make into law that the FBI has to get a warrant. And I know Christopher Wray and many others say, well, if we get the warrant, well, then we're not going to be able to do our job properly. You already are doing your job improperly by violating Americans' rights millions of times. In 1 year alone, it was 3.4 million. So I don't know how people haven't caught on to this. Like, that's tens of millions over decades. And yes, they claim, oh, well, we have put new fixes in place. Okay, well, let's at least wait on the report to see how effective those quote unquote fixes have been, because quite frankly, I have no trust in anything Christopher Wray or anybody else at the FBI tries to quote unquote fix.
Yeah. And I honestly don't trust any of their reports these days. I feel like they always downplay the numbers as well. I always say double it, whatever they're telling you, just double it at this point. Garrett O'Boyle, thank you for joining us. It's good to see you in Washington, D.C.
Likewise. Thanks, Brianna.
I want to let our audience in on a little secret. I'm saving hundreds of dollars each year after switching over both of my lines to Patriot Mobile. Yes, so now my business and personal line are with Patriot Mobile. Now, Patriot Mobile uses the same towers that you're probably already using now, except it's less expensive. So my 5G towers that I love to use my old provider, I'm still using them now. I'm just paying significantly less money to do so. And on top of it all, Patriot Mobile believes in the same things you and I believe in. They have the same morals. So they donate to causes that are like pro-life causes, veteran causes, and even the NRA. It's incredible. So I highly recommend you head over to patriotmobile.com right now, take a look at their plans and sign up. And today, if you sign up and use promo code Brianna, they're going to waive the activation fee. Yes, you heard it right. They're going to waive the activation fee. Just make sure you use promo code Brianna, B-R-E-A-N-N-A. The Department of Justice is not willing to fork over audio recordings of, well, Joe Biden's interview with Special Prosecutor Robert Hur. They're citing that it's going to be potentially interfering in any future investigations that go on. Now, the interesting part in all of this, folks, we talked about it on this show before. You're very well versed in all of this. You guys know that, well, Robert Hur isn't prosecuting Joe Biden or referring him to be prosecuted because, well, he's too senile. That's just really how this all plays out these days. But he's capable of running for president still, folks, so don't be discouraged. Joining us right now to discuss all of this is Congressman Jim Jordan. As many of you know, he's the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. Chairman, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
What was you got this letter yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's so disheartening. But ultimately, they're citing what they always say, and they're saying there might be future investigations, and that's how they get their way out of everything.
Investigation or soon-to-be investigation.
Yeah, yeah. What's your reaction to that?
I think we just got to go back to the facts. I mean, the facts are, as pointed out in Mr. Hur's report, the facts are Joe Biden knowingly knew the rules. He'd been in the Senate 50 years. He was vice president at a daily briefing. He knew the law relative to handling classified information. So Joe Biden knowingly kept classified information and disclosed it. That's a problem. You're not allowed to do that. His motive, I think, was pointed out on page 231. Of Mr. Hur's report, he said Joe Biden had strong motivations for ignoring classified procedures because he was writing a book. And he got an $8 million advance for that book. So Joe Biden had 8 million reasons to not follow the law. So we have motive. We have the elements of the crime met. But because he's a forgetful old man, we're not going to recommend charges be brought. Okay, that's where you're at. But if you're not going to recommend charges be brought because, even though you have motive, even though he met the elements of the crime, because he's a forgetful old man, then we'd kind of like to evaluate that. What was the basis of that? And they said it was based on the interview. So we're asking for the audio tape, not just because, as part of our constitutional duty to understand and do oversight of the executive branch, but maybe more importantly, so the American people can evaluate, fully evaluate, and have all the facts at their disposal on who they decide should be our next commander in chief in the upcoming election.
Well, I think that's important too. And you have so many people who are upset because, well, for the same situation, you know, President Donald Trump is being prosecuted for it, but he actually had the authority to do stuff like this to declassify information.
Great point.
And that's the problem here. So many Americans are fed up with this. When they sit there and they look at this, they're tired of this two-tier justice system that goes on. The Department of Justice is extremely biased these days, and many of us know it. And so getting the audio is important because, well, we've read the transcript. It's deeply concerning for any American. I mean, we are deeply concerned about the president of the United States, whether he's capable of even running the country right now.
You make a great point, too. Think about in the last three presidential elections. So that you had 16, 20 in the upcoming 2024. Only three names have been on the ballot. I mean, for the two major parties, it was Trump, Clinton, then President Trump against President Biden. And now it's going to be, of course, President Biden against President Trump. All three, there have been allegations and in case of President Trump, actual charges. But they've all had concerns with how they've handled classified information. But only one got prosecuted. Only one got charged. And oh, by the way, as you point out, the one who got charged was the one who was actually president at the time that he was handling the classified information. And of course, the president, as head of the executive branch, has ultimate authority on determining what's classified, what's not. So that to me, I think, is just underscores how important this all is. And again, as you point out, shows this double standard.
Yeah. It's discouraging. I know so many Americans are watching, especially because we see the DOJ going out specifically again for J6ers, J6ers who were nonviolent that day, they're prosecuting them. But BLM protesters from the Summer of Love aren't being met with the same level of prosecution that they are. So it's just, it keeps reminding Americans that there is a two-tier system in this country. I want to get to something that's really important that's on the minds of a lot of Americans as well, FISA. Yep. You guys are expecting the House to potentially vote on a warrant amendment, is yep. what we're being told. And there was this just jaw-dropping report that came out of Politico, which had me floored. I didn't actually think it was legit. But apparently they're reporting that Speaker Mike Johnson actually might not support the warrant amendment. Yeah. So he might just continue going forward with FISA without a warrant, which is interesting in itself. What's your reaction to, because we reached out to his office for comment. I haven't heard back through emails or phone calls. Yeah. So what's your reaction on this?
So understanding FISA, there are two elements to FISA. There's what we kind of call traditional FISA, where that process was, of course, abused back when they spied on President Trump's campaign. That's when you actually go to a court, do get a warrant to go spy. But what they took to the court was not accurate information. They didn't tell the court fully what was going on. One individual actually lied to the court. And of course, they spied on President. So there's some reform processes to that element of FISA. In the base legislation that will be in front of the House this week. There's a second program called the 702 program, which is where they surveil foreigners, but a bunch of Americans get picked up in this. And there's this huge database of information. And right now what can happen is if the FBI wants to search that database and they want to use Brianna's phone number or your email address, they can just do that. And what we're saying is no. In this big database of information that keeps growing, if you're going to go search an American, search their information, you should go to a court and get a warrant. That's how our system works. You can't just have one branch of government doing that without a separate and equal branch of government signing off on it. And it's that fundamental fact. And so that's what we're trying to get. Now, to your question, I think the speaker is actually going to oppose that concept. It was in the underlying bill that came out of Judiciary, okay. which, by the way, passed 35-2. Mm-hmm. And it was something that Mike Johnson supported in the past. But right now, it looks like the speaker's not going to support it.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a constitutional attorney as well. And we were very hopeful when he took over as speaker. I think a lot of Americans were hopeful. And they thought that we'd get a lot of these issues resolved. There seems to be a lot of things that are taking place right now that don't seem to be in character with the man that we've known for so long now. Are you a little concerned that he might be kind of taking the wrong path on all of these issues?
Well, Mike's a friend. Mm-hmm. And he's a good man. Wonderful yeah. family, Christian man. Him and Kelly are friends with Polly and I. Yeah. And it's a tough job with a small majority. I get all that. I understand all that. And you know, God bless him. But look, I disagreed with the spending bill that happened a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. My biggest problem with that spending bill was sort of in the same area. There were all kinds of earmarks and things that I didn't like and the woke stuff and all this.
Yeah.
But the part that bothered me the most, to be honest, $200 million additional dollars for an FBI headquarters in Maryland. Mm-hmm. Like, the same FBI that, and this is why you got to back to the warrant issue. The same FBI that spied on President Trump's campaign, the same FBI that said, oh, we need to investigate parents showing up at school board meetings, the same FBI who said, if you're a pro-life Catholic, you're an extremist, and the same FBI who retaliated against whistleblowers that came and talked to our committee about these concerns. That's the FBI that you're giving a $200 million to for a new headquarters. And that's the FBI that you don't want to require a warrant before they go search this database? I don't think so. So, that's the part that bothered me. I understand it's a tough job. And, you know, we're trying to be helpful to the speaker in every way we can.
Yeah. I agree with that. You know, we just actually, and it's so funny that you brought up the FBI whistleblowers, because we just actually had Steve Friend and Garrett O'Boyle in here. And we spoke with them and, you know, they gave us their opinions on FISA, obviously. But Garrett is somebody who I've spoken to for quite some time now. Yeah. And he did a great job testifying. I think sure it's over did. 10 months ago.
And also he testified in front of our committee last year and him and Steven knocked it out of the park. Did a great job.
And you would think so after he gives his testimony, you think the FBI would, you know, back off and leave him alone. I actually had him on the show the other day, a couple of weeks ago, actually. And he was forced to pay a bill. Now, as you recall, he was forced to move for his job. Yep. He didn't realize it until he got to his new location. They told him he was being put on unpaid leave. And he's a man with a family, children. It's such egregious behavior.
Couldn't get his stuff. Had to pay to get his belongings when he has children, young children. It was like, Yeah. Just wrong. Just wrong.
And they just hit him with the $3,000 bill that he had to pay just in a couple of weeks ago as well. And it just keeps adding up for him. He's someone who right now, guys, we've spoken about him on our show, over 19 months now without pay. Yeah. And it's egregious, but it's a strategy that they use often. They use often to go after whistleblowers. They'll put you on this suspended unpaid leave situation that you have going on. So he's still employed by the FBI. He can't seek employment elsewhere, but he's stuck in this position. Would you potentially support like a whistleblower amendment that would block agencies like this from?
Well, the first thing they typically do is take away their clearance,
yeah.
and then they'll some of the other things that you've talked about. I think it was Stephen Friend, one of them, yeah. just wanted to get his access to his firearm certification so he could get like employment in a security to take care of his family and you know get income. And I think they kept that from him as well. So, we have whistleblower protection, legislation that was introduced that, it's Nick Langworthy introduced it, I believe I think last week or 2 weeks ago, when we were here, that would work on safeguards and handling, the way whistleblowers come forward, giving them better protections.
Yeah. Now, would it offer them an option for the agencies still have to continue to pay them if they can't just put them on this unpaid?
I got to go back and look at the legislation, but one of our colleagues has worked with our staff on judiciary and others, and we put this legislation together.
Yeah, because I think it's so important because he's struggling right now. So many Americans are these days, but I mean, to be put on unpaid leave and then just kind of have to sit here and wait, I've seen it happen before. It could take years for this whole situation to kind of settle down. Yeah. So it's very, very unfortunate for him. We do hope that something could happen. What right now can the Judiciary Committee do? Because this is our theme of our show today, right? The weaponization of our federal government. So what right now can you do as chairman to kind of push back and to make sure that the government stops going after Americans and targeting them?
Keep doing oversight. I mean, sometimes just the fact that you raise the issue, you do it because you want to look at legislative remedies or you want to deal maybe with the funding issue. Mm-hmm. But just doing the oversight can make a huge difference. I'll give you two quick examples. One is, if you remember a year and a half ago, the Department of Homeland Security was setting up the Disinformation Governance Board.
Yes.
Remember the speech patrol out there, as if some bureaucrats are going to tell you what you're allowed to say, what you're not allowed to. It's just crazy. And folks like you on the out, we all made a big issue of this. And suddenly they go, well, Shazam, maybe we'll stop doing that because they realize this is a total attack on the First Amendment. Yeah. Second example is the IRS announced last year that they will no longer be making unannounced visits to American citizens' homes. And the commissioner of the IRS said, we are doing this for the safety of our agents. Baloney. They're doing it because we caught them knocking on Matt Taibbi's door when he was testifying in front of our committee. You know, no one thinks that was just accident that the IRS was knocking at that very moment when he's testifying. So those are some examples where just by highlighting this earlier today, I was in a deposition with an FBI agent who was involved with Bank of America when Bank of America sent the information regarding their customers' data, gave it to the government days they were in D.C., we continue to do that oversight work, and sometimes that in and of itself changes how things happen.
It's disturbing in itself. I think a lot of Americans are upset. I mean, I had a former FBI supervisor call me and give me a story about his time at the agency and what he witnessed. He just simply wanted to inquire about election fraud, and they were getting tips and he wanted to investigate it. And by simply putting that in an email, he was forced out the door, but he was refusing to come forward and put his face on it because he's afraid of what the agency is going to do to him. Is there anything that could be done right now to help other people who are considering maybe FBI agents who are currently serving right now, who are considering becoming forward as whistleblowers, anything that could kind of assure them that they will be protected?
Well, we will keep them confidential if they come forward. We work with the agents, whether they're in the FBI or Mr. Shapley, Mr. Ziegler, who came forward from the IRS. And they've been tremendous as well. Yeah. I always say their testimony has stood up to cross-examination. Their story has not changed, has not wavered because they're telling the truth. Mm-hmm. Unlike the White House, unlike the Justice Department, and frankly, unlike the Bidens about the whole Hunter Biden investigation. So we will work with them and help them in any way we can. And we even have this legislation, which is designed to provide greater safeguards and strength to the current whistleblower statute.
Thank you, Chairman Jim Jordan, for joining us today. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How?
Set
them
up.
Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
Yeah, we get really close. We call it a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudge.
Mm.
Sometimes you just gotta give them a quick little
just to see what happens. Sometimes you light the fuse and just wait for it to follow.
Nothing like putting out a fake social media thing to like really get people mad.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are?
He did what we wanted.
Which was what?
Took his money away. Chopped his legs off.
Oh, man. It's another bombshell report coming exclusively from Sound Investigations. And it shows a CIA contractor saying that the intel community actually sets up Americans. That's so strange. Joining us to discuss is the very, very amazing investigative reporter, Arden Young. She's over at Sound Investigations. Arden, my jaw hit the ground when I saw your report. It was a complete bombshell, mainly from the angle that so many of us have spoken about this. We knew this was taking place within the intel community, but your report pieces it together. Now, I want to play the full clip that we have right now. It's about 3 minutes long, so it's a little bit longer than normal, but it details what this gentleman was just describing about how the intel community actually sets up people. And in fact, he details that they set up potentially Alex Jones. Take a listen.
As long as the Bureau is able to progress far enough to be able to put pro-lifers in jail whenever they want.
Yeah.
You think that's on the agenda?
We can. You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How?
You set them up. You create the situation to where they have no choice but to act on their impulse. And once they act on that impulse, then we call that entrapment. It's a fine line.
Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
We get really close.
Not officially?
No. We get as close as we can. We get as close as we can to it without doing it.
So they can entrap some of these pro-lifers into doing things that they
depending,
don't...
Yeah. We call it a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudge. Sometimes you just gotta get a quick little... just to see what happens, right?
And how does that happen?
You put a post out there, or you... have someone fake profile say something that triggers that we know is going to trigger them, right? Like, we already know your history. If we're to that point, we already know everything about it. So we're like, oh, this will piss them off. Sometimes you light the fuse and just wait for it to follow, right?
Like a railing. Mm-hmm. Like a, oh. So when a railing happens, that sometimes the Bureau behind it?
Yeah, sometimes. Nothing like putting out a fake social media thing to like really get people mad.
Mm-hmm.
Post fake news. Sometimes it's not fake. It's embellished a little bit.
Who would be like a big influencer that you're after? You, like a, I don't know, like a, I don't even know these names. Like a Fox News person or like a Tucker Carlson or like.
I'm sure he's on the radar. Right. You always want the biggest and loudest. Like that, what was his name? The one that said the Sandy Hook didn't happen.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are? Are you still after him?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's broke. He got found guilty and had to pay like $100 million.
So what? Why were you after him?
We're not anymore.
Just to get the money from him?
Yeah.
Was that court case used? Was that CIA?
Sure was.
That was the agency thing?
Actually, it was a defamation case, so it's a civil, not government. But we were looking at all of his followers, commenting, following, like, who's that the latest, right? So even though it's technically not our, well, not the agency, definitely, but the Bureau, for instance, yeah, it's not our purview. It's a civil matter. But since they got all this access to his stuff, and it's there, what can we... go find.
And did you find anything?
I can't tell you. Oh, we did. But, so, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, realize the opportunity that you have.
So with Alex Jones, you were watching him long before anything ended up happening?
Probably. It wasn't my office, but, I mean, we would have been well aware of what he was doing.
And the goal with him was what? Just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much. And we let the families do it.
And what?
We let the families do it.
Were they encouraged to do that by the Bureau? Like, nudged?
We don't encourage people.
But, like,
we just say there's no federal statute being broken. But you do have the option for a civil case. And it's a pretty good case.
Nice.
In our opinion.
So, oh, that makes so much sense. I have a cousin who's a lawyer. So that's a lot of these cases. They're kind of encouraged by the FBI.
Yeah, like there's nothing federal law we can do, but civilly, we can go at him that way and chop his legs off.
And they did.
Yeah.
So the FBI was happy.
We didn't care. We were like, oh.
Arden, we talk about it often on the show. It's lawfare that he's describing to folks. He's detailing how the CIA knows that they didn't have anything criminally to go after Alex Jones for. So instead, he's describing potentially that the CIA might have pushed them over to the civil side. He describes it as a nudge. And then he details that they followed Alex Jones' followers and kind of went through the comments and likes, what I found interesting. Arden, what was your reaction to just seeing him admit all of this? Because this is just jarring in itself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was shocked. This isn't content that we were aiming for in the field by any means. Actually, when our journalist first sat down with Gavin, we had no idea, absolutely no idea he worked for the CIA. They met in a chance meeting. It's not like we were aiming for this person. So when all of this content was coming out of Gavin's mouth, it was like, wow, it's something that we've all, you know, talked about and kind of speculated and had suspicions of, but hearing it coming from his mouth was another thing. So yeah, we had to put it out.
It's absurd to hear him say it, but it's not surprising. His background also does include working for ICE, working for the FBI, and now he's with the CIA as a contractor. Have you heard from the CIA? Have they reacted to this story? Because this is somebody who probably shouldn't be working with them since he's just so loose with the lips.
Right. No, we haven't heard back from anyone that we've reached out to for comment, including Mr. O'Vlenis here. So I'm hoping we hear some type of comment or word back soon, and we'll definitely be updating accordingly.
It's so disturbing in itself. Is there anyone speaking out? Because you just dropped this story earlier today, so it's only been a couple of hours, but has anyone reached out to you in regards to it? Because this is a very, very big story, and it shakes down the core of the issue that we're describing today, the weaponization of our federal government and how they use lawfare against average Americans or journalists. Have you heard from anyone who's outraged by this?
Yeah, absolutely. We're getting all types of reactions on social media, including two different comments from Elon Musk saying how disturbed and concerned he is about this content. Alex Jones has reacted as well. And obviously, this directly applies to him. So this may be something he decides to use in his case.
Yeah, and I hope it helps him because, listen, they're coming for everything. They want to shut down InfoWars just because, not because of anything legitimate, it's because they disagree with the content that they publish on their outlet, and that's just disturbing in itself. And like we've said this whole time, this is a First Amendment issue, and, you know, they just have completely taken advantage of it and just came up with an absurd amount of money that they know he can't pay off. So there's really no legitimacy behind it, and he wasn't found guilty of anything. The trial, the civil case really didn't play out in his favor because, well, it wasn't supposed to play out in his favor in the first place. So it's interesting to see all of this. Now, Arden, I know that over at Sound Investigations, you guys constantly have several series involved in this. Is this all we're going to see from this story, or is there more to come?
There is more to come. We're currently packaging another release. Gavin O'Blenis said all types of things during a series of sit-downs with our journalists. So yeah, there is more to come. There's just a plethora of information from Mr. O'Blenis.
I love it. I love it. Because they literally don't, I don't know what it is with these new federal employees they keep hiring, but it's like they can't shut up. They tell way too much. And their one job is to secure secrets and to keep secrets, and they choose not to.
Yeah. I mean, when he first told our journalists he worked for the CIA, we actually were really skeptical and didn't believe it. So our journalists actually had him show his acceptance letter from the CIA on camera that I think we included in this full release, as well as some CIA like award pins that aren't publicly available, only given to people who work there. So we really had to go through and make sure this guy actually worked there.
Yeah. It's alarming. It's disturbing, but it's not really surprising these days. Arden Young, thank you for joining us. You know, the CIA is not hiring their brightest, but we're glad we have good investigative journalists like you all over at Sound Investigations who are keeping up with it and reporting on the things that really matter, because the weaponization of our federal government is something a lot of Americans are deeply concerned about. So thank you. So the theme of today's show is obviously the weaponization of our federal government, and you have to be prepared for whatever comes your way. And so many Americans are doing just that. Everyone is now prepping, it seems like. Everyone I know is these days. And they're getting ready for whatever might be a doomsday or might just be, you know, a bad weather situation, a hurricane or something else. But everyone is beginning to prep and they're beginning to build their supply. And that's what's so important. It's gone mainstream. And joining me to discuss all of this is JD Rucker. He is the co-founder of BriannaMeat.com. JD, thank you for jumping on with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me as always.
Now, I think it's interesting, right? Because so many people kind of blew off the prepping aspect of all of this, and now it's gone mainstream. So many Americans, yeah, are looking to do it. I'm doing it too. We talk about it often in my apartment. I'm building up my supply. And it's not just a doomsday thing. It could be a weather incident that a lot of people should always prepare for. I know hurricane season's coming, and they're saying, and it could be just because they're, you know, climate activists, but they're saying that it might be the worst hurricane season that we've ever seen in Florida. So JD, you obviously own a prepper company. What are you hearing from your customer base? Why are people starting to prep?
We actually did a survey, and there's a lot of, I don't want to say fear, because our audience, the people that like go and watch your show, the people that would go to BriannaMeat.com, we're not scared. Okay. We're concerned about what could happen, and we don't want to be caught flat footed. And so what we're seeing is a whole lot of people that are not necessarily becoming quote unquote doomsday preppers, but they are getting supplies. They are getting ready. They're becoming what we like to call lifestyle preppers. These are people that, you know, if they're not trying to get off grid, they're not trying to go build a bunker somewhere, but they also don't want to be sitting around waiting for FEMA to hand them bottled waters and cricket burgers. They want to take control of their food security, their ammunition, their Bibles, their energy, everything. And by taking control, that means having a supply ready and on hand. And so when we talk about the rise of lifestyle preppers, that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about the people out there that aren't necessarily going off grid or anything like that, but they are trying to make sure that if things go south, whether it's through weather, could be hurricanes, tornadoes, could be when we did that survey, the number one concern for Americans right now is the coming elections. They believe that no matter who wins, somebody's going to do something crazy. Somebody's going to do something that could disrupt the supply chain. And we, you know, hopefully, Lord willing, it's Donald Trump that wins, which means that it will be the leftists that go crazy. And it'll be what a lot of people are anticipating is something similar to the George Floyd Summer of Love, except, you know, tenfold, where they're actually really, really trying to take things out. So we'll see. But yeah, you know, the idea is to stock up on good stuff and not just necessarily go run off into a bunker, and nothing wrong with that, by the way. I'm just, you know, people want a bunker, awesome. But for those who want to just stay at home, stay in their homes, their apartments, whatever, and just be ready just in case things go south, that's where we can help.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for everyone to understand. It's good to have a supply on hand, and I think it's good to have a high quality supply, like something that's really, really good, not something that you just have to eat to survive. And because there's options, and that's what's really important here. That's the point I want to drive home. Now, your brand that you guys have, obviously, BriannaMeat.com, has great options for Americans right now, and I'd recommend everyone just going to take a look. But you don't offer, you know, beef crumbles, which again is very strained in itself. You offer a product that is high quality because it's actual cuts of beef. So you're going to get a filet if you'd like that, New York strip. There's so many different cuts. So walk us through all the options that you guys offer, and then we'll go through what I think is really important right after, which is how to slowly build up your supply.
Sure. So like you said, we don't do beef crumbles. We don't do beef chunks. Okay. And look, nothing wrong. I get it. These other, there are survival companies out there that they might offer 1,000 different products. And so it behooves them to take the lowest quality beef and chicken and whatever they can find and call it a protein bucket and be done with it. Okay. That's their prerogative. The way that we look at it is people shouldn't, anybody who's ever tried a beef crumble is never going to order it again. Okay. I mean, you might say, oh, well, in a survival situation, I don't care what I eat. Guess what? You will. And there's a lot of psychology and emotional reasons that you want to have high quality food. But perhaps most importantly, there are health reasons. You want, you know, ribeye, tenderloin, and New York strip and sirloin. You want these not just because they taste better, not just because they're more tender and just overall better cuts of beef, but they're also better for you. The protein content, which is going to be so important if things do go south, having that high quality protein content could be the difference between living healthy and not living healthy, and perhaps even not living at all. So yeah, the quality is important. It does make a difference. And we focus on the highest quality possible.
Yeah. And I think it's really important for everyone to understand. And I wanted to also echo the fact that you guys are having a sale right now. It's not going to be going on forever. This is a limited sale. So exclusively for our audience for listening today, you are offering them 25% off of your products right now on the website. So over at BrianaMeat.com, if you use the promo code Brie, that's B-R-E, you're going to secure up to 25% off. So it's 25% off on all of these products, which is amazing, but it doesn't end there. And this is what I like the most. If you become a subscriber, and that's what a lot of us do because we don't want to, you know, buy in bulk. We can't really afford to do it these days. If you want to slowly build up that supply, you then get an additional 10% off. So that's 35% off plus free shipping. And then you guys are also donating to a veteran cause, which I love. So 10% of the proceeds go there. So, you know, JD, again, why do you think, briefly for our audience, why do you think it's so important for folks to kind of take advantage of the subscription service? Because I think that in itself is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you subscribe, what you're basically saying, you're committing to expand your own food security for the long haul. You know, it's easy to say, oh, you know, you read a report or whatever, and you're like, oh, I better go buy a bucket of beans or something like that. And that's fine. But by subscribing, which you can cancel at any time, by subscribing, you're saving 10%. You know that every single month you're going to get that one package, two package, four packages, whatever you subscribe to. And they're just going to keep coming every single month until you say, stop, I've got enough. You look in your closet, you're like, okay, see, I've got 40 bags. It's 12 servings per bag. It's 480 servings. That should last my family for several months. We're good. Let's go ahead and cancel the subscription. By doing it like that, you're not having to fork over thousands of dollars all at once. You just do it over time and accumulate it. And this sort of intelligent format is rewarded with the, as you said, 35% off when you do both the subscription plus promo code BRE. So awesome stuff.
Yeah, it's great, folks. Again, you got to head over to BrianaMeat.com right now. Use promo code Brie to secure those savings. Now's the time to do it because when you start subscribing too, you guys lock in those great prices. So now's the time to head over there and make sure you get those prices while they're still low because, you know, Biden might do something stupid and then inflation kicks in and there you go. So again, head over to BrianaMeat.com and use promo code Brie to secure 25% off and free shipping right now. JD, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. I want to tell you guys about my friend Allie. Allie is always complaining about her feet hurting because she's always in heels and working on them. And so I gifted her the new My Slippers 2.0. And let me tell you something, guys, it's been a complete game changer for Allie. You see, Allie tells me now it feels like she's walking on clouds because these slippers are so soft and the cushioning on them is perfect. She is so happy with her new My Slippers 2.0 that she's bragging about it to everyone. And well, if you go on MyPillow.com right now, you'll notice that everyone's talking about these slippers. They're incredible. So right now you have to head over to MyPillow.com and secure your slippers right now. Now, if you want to save up to 66% off, you got to do it by using promo code Brianna. That's B-R-E-A-N-N-A. Again, make sure you're using promo code Brianna if you want to secure your 66% off and get them now before they sell out.
To celebrate the new year, we're having the biggest sale ever on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, save 60% on our Goose Down Comforters, the best comforters ever. They go perfectly with our MyPillow bed sheets and duvet covers. Save 25% on our brand new kitchen towels. They're made with the same technology as our famous My Towels. Our initial quantities are extremely low, so get them now before they go. Our seasonal flannel sheets are finally in. You save up to 50% and they sell out fast every year, so order now. They're truly the best flannel sheets you'll ever sleep on. Or save up to 80% on all our clearance items. And this is where it gets even better. For a limited time, your entire order ships absolutely free. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use that promo code to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. And for a limited time, your order ships absolutely free.
Man, I can't tell you guys enough. I am loving my Giza bed sheets from MyPillow. I talk about it all the time. You got to try it out yourself. I'm traveling. My hotel bed sheets aren't as good as those Giza sheets. And if you're looking to get a pair of those, you got to head over right now to MyPillow.com and use promo code BREE, that's B-R-E, to secure up to 66% off. It's the best promo code you can use right now. And then when you're on MyPillow's website, you got to head over and look at all of the new add-ons that Mike Lindella just posted to the website. So again, folks, it's MyPillow.com and use promo code BREE, that's B-R-E, to secure up to 66% off. Now, it was a great night here in Washington, D.C., and we're so happy you guys joined us. Tomorrow's a travel day for the show, of course, so we will not be on air, but we'll be back here again on Thursday. Thanks for joining us. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.